Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York City.
You can see it's a little messy over here. Look at the background.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, you know, the world's about to get real messy, and anyway, forget the two-state solution thing. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's not going to happen. I know everybody's playing, you know, thinking that, you know, free Palestine. Yeah, well, get out, because you're in Israeli land. But anyway, we got a lot to cover today, and you know, we got a U.S. election coming up. We got election tampering going on by the mainstream media, which I'm not going to call the mainstream media anymore. Instead, the propaganda media, I think, would probably
mainstream propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, and that's all they are. You know, it's all propaganda now. They're not telling you the truth, and I'm going to prove it today. I'm going to prove that they're lying to you today. So pay attention. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I'm just going to tell you to make it too big to rig and let you figure it out from there. Okay? Anyway, we do have a lot of ground to cover, and we're going to start in the United States, and we're going to move further and further and get over to Israel, because, you know, everything that really matters is in Israel, you know, bottom line. Okay, but let's start with this, because this one is the latest.
Let's start with prayer.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, go right ahead, David. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we forgot that. I know, we're so anxious to get into stuff with you.
Right.
All right, Father, we ask you for wisdom and insight. We ask for your protection as your ambassadors, our secret service angels to keep us around and about. We thank you for insights that we can spread, like the sons of Issachar who knew the times, and those who were Bereans who would look things up to make sure they were true. So we give you all the glory and all the praise, and we ask that your word would go forth, and that any information that we can find would show people that this world is headed for doom, and that only the king can return and bring it back, and that to receive him, and then you can live in the kingdom with Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. I'm going to start this off because we are having an election coming up on Tuesday, and I feel like, and this is personal observation on my part, I don't know how you feel, Dave. Well, I do too, but anyway, this election is super important. You know, every 4 years I hear the same thing, that this is the most important election in history, right? I hear that.
Well, it has been.
Yeah, every time.
More important.
But this particular time, this is extremely important, because if this election goes one way, we'll never have another election, in my opinion. You know, So anyway, let's listen to this.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Jagruti Dave with The Week in Review. Donald Trump has conjured up a violent fantasy about one of his most vocal critics being shot. The former U.S. president and White House hopeful said Liz Cheney, the daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, should be fired upon, describing her as a war hawk. Ms. Cheney is a former United States Congresswoman from Trump's own Republican Party, but she's endorsed the Democratic Party nominee, Vice President Kamala Harris, in next week's election. Benji Heyer reports from Washington.
Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face.
These comments are shocking, but no longer come as a surprise. Donald Trump has been called a fascist by his own former chief of staff. He's vowed to send the army after his political opponents, and he's described by Kamala Harris as a petty tyrant who's incited violence and is obsessed with revenge. Liz Cheney has hit back at Trump's remarks too, suggesting, quote, "This is how dictators destroy free nations. They threaten those who speak against them with death." Last night, Trump also suggested, without evidence, that he's on course for victory in 4 days' time, laying the groundwork to falsely claim fraud again if he loses. And he said vaccine conspiracy theorist Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would take care of health, and that billionaire businessman Elon Musk would be an influential figure in a potential second term. Benji Heyer, Washington.
Benji Heyer in Washington is a lying SOB. Okay.
Well, they're good at twisting things, though. I mean, they're of the father, the devil, the most subtle creature.
Yeah.
Wow, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I suggest folks go actually listen to it, and then Trump wasn't threatening anything.
Yeah.
He's like, let me tell you something. Basically, his idea was, if Liz Cheney was faced with all of this, she would rethink her Second Amendment attitude. That's basically what it says.
Take a look at what I have on screen, David. Mm-hmm. This guy is Bill Maher. For those of you that are not watching us in video form, I highly suggest that you watch today's show in video form. Go to www.lastchristian.net. It's lastchristian.net. And you will find a direct link there that takes you to this particular show right on our homepage. And you'll be able to watch this presentation, which has a lot of information that you're not going to find anywhere else. But I think most liberals know this guy. His name is Bill Maher. He is a very liberal talk show host on HBO. It does a Real Time with Bill Maher is the name of his program. And he says in here that, I'll just let you read it for yourself here. Let me see if I can get this. I've never done this before. As you can see, it says, even liberals, Trump critics blast the media coverage of his Liz Cheney comments as a bald-faced lie, which is exactly what it is. But he had a comment in here. He said, again, the spirit of it is something that if someone with the blue said it, people would nod along with the left. But anyway, he put in here that he didn't want to, be lied to. Okay. And the comment here is, I don't blame former Vice President Dick Cheney for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her. Okay, let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face, you know, they're all war hawks. When they're sitting in Washington in nice buildings saying, oh, gee, well, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy. Now, basically, Bill Maher said, I don't want to be lied to. Okay. He said Trump did not say what the media is cranking up, and he didn't. What he said was that if she might not be as quick to want a war if she was the one having to fight it. That's really what he was talking about.
Yeah,
you know.
Basically.
Yeah, and so the media is stirring all this up like, you know, oh, man, he's calling for no, he's not. He didn't ever say shoot her, and there are some outlets that are saying that he's calling for her execution. I mean, this is ridiculous.
As if they didn't do that.
The propaganda media is out of control. The Department of Defense has already said that they have now the right to use lethal force against American citizens that do not comply with U.S. government orders. First time ever that the DOD has authorized the use of lethal force against American citizens on American soil. That's fascism. Mm-hmm. That's your fascism right there.
Yeah. Okay. Let's give everyone a clue. You know, people in America, we need to understand that we are real men and women living on the land and not subject to their corporation that they have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just go look that up. Look up the C2K report and then, you know, get back to us when you do all of that. You can find it on my website, too, if you want the C2K.
Yeah, give them the address on that, David.
Yeah, thehiddenday.com, thehiddenday.com. You can go on there. You can even contact me. But, you know, we're all about freedom. We're not anti-government people. We are anti-evil government people.
Right.
And even our Constitution clearly says, you know, if the government turns evil, you got to get rid of them and put in a new government.
Mm-hmm.
So this has happened before. I don't know if you guys remember back in 1776, they had similar things, and it was only 3% of the population that rose up. I got to tell you, JD, I saw a whole bunch of videos. Now, if you're starting to see the videos of people saying FOFA, was it FAFO? Yeah, you know that one.
Right.
So you see a whole bunch of people on videos saying that, you can guarantee that's only the tip of the iceberg, and there's so many people that aren't saying anything yet. So this is going to be interesting in either case, because if A wins, then we are going to see a whole bunch of people that are just losing their and they're going to go crazy and yell like little babies and set things on fire. If B wins, they're all going to know it's rigged, and they're going to take control at that point. And it's going to be a fight either way, I think, if we even get to the point of the election.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still of the opinion that it's possible they're trying to cause some kind of national emergency where we won't even get to the count.
David, I used to agree with that 100%, but now I'm saying not so fast. I think they're going to allow the election to happen. I got something on that here in just a second. But before we get there, I want to put this back up again one more time, because I finally got the right quote up here. This is Bill Maher again. It says, just don't lie to me. I don't like Donald Trump. Don't lie to me and tell me he wants her in front of a firing squad. He was saying something that, by the way, if it came out of his mouth, some of it, not the stupid part again, sounds like what hippies would say about sending people to war. But again, what it was all about is the fact that, no, Trump did not say anything about killing somebody, okay? What he was saying is, you know, she's making all these determinations because she doesn't have to go fight a war. She doesn't have any kids that are gonna have to fight a war, you know? But I've got a lot more on this particular subject. Now, I want to get to it as best I can here. I want to do this one real quick. This is voter registration changes from November of 2020 to July of 2024, which is just a couple of months ago. Now, if you look through these by state, you can see the changes, both plus and minus, for the Republicans and the Democrats, and then they have all other over there on the far side. And you'll notice all the way down at the bottom that you see a total change. Republicans gained in registrations 393,365 new Republican voters for just the states that are included there on that chart. And with the same chart, Democrats lost 3,584,321 registered voters who have either changed over to the Republican position or to the all others, which gained 1,802,932. So what that tells me is, along with the fact that early voting results seem to show that Republicans are outperforming Democrats across the board in every state, all 50 of them, okay, they have increased their voters while Democrats have lost theirs. So that tells me that the trend right now is for Donald Trump. Now, here's the other thing that I wanted to get to. Let's see.
I'm wondering if, you know, if Trump gets to more than 50% of the registered voters even before Election Day, I wonder how they're going to try and do that one. Oops, we found more registered voters all over here. And, every last one of them voted Democrat. Yeah, that's it.
I got something I'm going to show you here, which is going to shake you up, because you haven't seen this, I don't think. I can guarantee you that nobody's seeing this with CNN or MSNBC or any place else, including Fox News, by the way, including Fox News.
But
I've got it. So listen to this one.
Donald Trump wins. They will move to disqualify him through Congress, invoke civil war conditions, and tell the Trump hordes that Donald Trump is disqualified and not allowed to be president.
So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025 to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means. And I'm glad that Sherilyn's creating her new center so we can bring that back to life, even as we're continuing to amend the Constitution, as Professor Hassan has invited us to do.
What a wild thing to say to a group of people so casually that we will need bodyguards for everyone's civil war conditions. What he is saying, that if Donald Trump wins on January 6th, they must stop him from taking office.
Okay, and this is what I... If you follow the show, I've been saying this for a long time, that I felt like Trump was good. Well, you know, I'm seeing the real polls, and right now they stand at 65% favoring Donald Trump in the real polls, the ones
even
that you don't see.
With all their fraud.
Yeah. So what they are positioning themselves for, by the way, the governor in Washington State has already authorized the use of the National Guard and says it to prepare for rioting. And, the implication was if Trump was to win, that people are going to riot and all that, and they will. But
in fact, they prove the other side was.
But if Trump wins, and he will, and they pull some crap like that, they're going to get more than a riot.
Yeah.
They're going to get a lot more than a riot. Okay.
Let me tell you something. I've seen them. Those guys are serious. You know, I mean, full uniform. I said, listen, we've done this and we're going to just be ready. FAFO. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting. I know that. But I also know the king is coming.
Absolutely.
And he's going to get rid of all this stuff anyway. So we're not fearful in any sense. We are monarchists, and we're Amen. With the king, and we are his ambassadors, okay? And we're just trying to say, hey, you know what? We want a peaceful place while we're here, which that's our job, right, is to bring peace so people can, you know who the savior is. But the bottom line is he's coming back. He's not going to ask for a vote. He doesn't like your opinion. It doesn't matter. The king is coming, and he's going to rule with an iron rod. So there goes all your, opinions about gays and transsexuals and all this other stuff. Yeah, not going to happen.
No. They are pulling out everything they can think of here in the last 3 or 4 days before the election, including this idiot.
Former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, that Donald Trump is a fascist who, during his first term in office, expressed admiration for Hitler, not once, but on multiple occasions. The claims by General Kelly, just days before the end of America's election campaign, were embraced last week by Kamala Harris. She seized on them to describe her rival as a fascist, unfit to occupy the office of the presidency. But are the claims true? Kelly's successor as Trump's White House Chief of Staff is Mick Mulvaney.
I never even heard him mention Hitler at all, let alone in a positive sense. I thought it was noteworthy that John Bolton, who's the National Security Advisor and I as the Chief of Staff, whose antipathy towards Donald Trump is not hidden, said that, you know, he believes John Kelly when John Kelly says it, but he didn't hear those words either. Other former high-ranking Trump officials who put out a statement this week backing what John Kelly said, but at the same time said they didn't hear it either. So I was very disappointed in my predecessor that he's made a decision. That's fine. But no, I never heard it. If I thought the man was a fascist, I would have quit. And I'm sort of surprised that John sat on this for 5.5 years without saying anything about it and didn't quit at the time.
To be clear, General Kelly has voiced intense criticisms of Trump previously, claiming he dismissed military veterans as suckers and losers. But it is unclear why he waited so long to make his latest very dramatic revelations.
Well, the reason that he waited is because he wasn't needed until now. But, you know, whenever you see yourself
on him.
Yeah, whenever you see yourself behind, you know, somebody that's got a 65% approval, you know,
check Epstein Island or the Diddy Party. You know, we'll see if he's on that list somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's it for the election. I'm going to let you guys make up your own mind. I know who I'm going to support, and they can't be against.
Let's be clear about that too. Yeah, he's not perfect. Okay, none of us are. Right. We're not saying, hey, let's elect someone perfect. No, we're electing someone to do the job that needs to be done to fix the nation, and that would be a businessman who knows how to run it because we saw how it was run. Mm-hmm. The reason they're all like they got their panties in a bunch is very simple. Okay, they're gonna lose power, and they've been using their power to deceive the people and use the people as the masses, just going out and working and giving them all the money, and they're gonna lose all of that, and they're terrified because they've done some evil things to get there, and they will be exposed.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, whether or not they allow this guy to get in and get exposed, they're going to get exposed, okay? Because the King of Kings is coming, and he's going to expose them. And if he uses Mr. A, Mr. B, or Mr. C to do that, it's going to happen.
Now, isn't there, getting back to a little bit of Bible here, isn't there something in the Bible about where bad deeds will be exposed?
Yeah, your sin will find you out. Basically, you don't repent of these, they will come to light. And the whole reason is because it has to. It's just the truth will show itself. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but if you are in Christ and you have that blood contract, that sin has already been paid for. So when you're exposed to the King of Kings, he's looked and says, well, you're perfect. My son is perfect. Mm-hmm. If you don't, then you're exposed to the King of Kings every bad thing you've ever done.
Right.
I mean, it's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody wrote on Facebook some stuff, and you know, about how Kamala Harris had expressed her faith. You know, it was so important to her. Let me tell you this. Kamala Harris is not a Christian. Okay? I mean, I know I'm not supposed to judge like that, but based on what she says, based on her actions, based on her policies, she couldn't be. Yeah, she just couldn't be. There's no way, because she believes in abortion right up until the time of birth, and you know, and God looks at that as murder. So you know, you decide, is Kamala Harris right or is God right? Well, I'm going to pick God 100% of the time, no exceptions. Okay.
I wonder if that includes up to how old is she?
Oh Lord, I don't know.
Abortion up to age 70, maybe. Then we can include her. It's like, listen, we don't like you, so I mean, it's just that's what kind of sense it makes, you know. Well, why not a year? Well, why not 2 years?
Well, all I know is, David, if this election goes one way, that I hope it doesn't in the end, that we're going to hear a lot of that, you know. It's just
And we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And pretty much it'll be, listen, it might be today. You better receive the Lord.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay. Now, breaking away from that, and I'm not going to spend any more time on it today. I want to get into Israel, and the way to do that is, first of all, to let people know that there has to be a coalition built for the Gog and Magog war to take place with Russia, Turkey, all them. Turkey I don't believe they received a full membership in BRICS, but they received something, some kind of an acknowledgement. Okay. Maybe we can look that up in the break time here. But they received some kind of acknowledgement that they could participate with BRICS, but they couldn't be a full member of it. And one of the reasons, of course, is the fact that they're members of NATO. So you can't be a member of both NATO and BRICS at the same time. It's, you know, it's like being on both sides of a football game, you know. So, you know, they got to pick, and obviously they are picking BRICS over NATO. But here's the big one, and I want to, in the second half of the show, we'll get into this a lot more, the significance of it, because as soon as David hears this, he's going to go off. And that is that the king of Saudi Arabia is now calling for a 7-year agreement, peace agreement with Israel and the other the other team. 7-year mm-hmm. agreement. And as soon as I saw that, guess what popped in my mind, David?
Let me see. He'll sign an agreement for 7 years. That's mm-hmm. interesting.
So we're going to talk about that a lot in the second mm-hmm. half of the show. But there is a lot going on over there in the region that we need to get to. But I'm going to sneak in this report, which really has nothing to do with either one of those things. But instead, India, I believe, is going to be involved in this, too.
Oh,
and
much.
I believe China is going to be involved in this. So let's listen to this one.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking today in more detail at a decision by India and China to bury the hatchet over a border dispute that has lasted since the 1960s. They have agreed to deconfliction along the so-called line of control that separates the two countries in the mountains of the Himalayas. They have engaged in a military standoff in that icy, inhospitable terrain for decades. But analyst Bob McMahon of America's Council on Foreign Relations says the agreement could be the beginning of the standoff's end.
It's the first time in more than 5 years that they had formal talks. They've had informal talks, but these were formal talks they had on the sidelines of the BRICS summit. And details are still to come, and those are going to be really important to watch. But this line of actual control, which is more than 2,100 miles, they are now saying they will jointly patrol contested areas. These were what you would call confidence-building measures, because both sides have been building things like roads, seen as the run-up to seizing more territory or bringing in more military materiel and so forth to be able to beef up their presence and create facts on the ground for what they claim to be their place. It's still a long road ahead for them to get into any sort of process where they can actually mark out an agreed-upon border. But it's still in all really important.
The deal was announced at the BRICS summit last week in the Russian city of Kazan, and it was partly brokered by Russian President Vladimir Putin after several rounds of talks over many weeks. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
And again, there's BRICS again. The coalition there is growing and growing with BRICS, and NATO is showing more and more holes. It's the best way I can describe it. I don't think NATO's got a bite anymore. I really don't. Okay, we're out of time for the first half of the show. Second half, we're going to really get into prophecy and what to expect. You can forget the two-state solution. That's not going to happen. But there's a lot that's going to happen. We'll be right back.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
God is at work in your life. The problem is that we are too distracted by temporary things to see the big picture of what God is doing both in our life and in the world around us. God has called each of us to follow Him. What does that look like, and how do I do it well? We answer that question in our daily choices. My name is Norman Smith, and Run With Horses is a show dedicated to helping you thrive as a follower of Jesus. It is my goal to follow Jesus and pursue His work in my life with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're like me, you know that the journey isn't easy, and we do it better together. Join me on Revelation Radio for an hour of conversation and encouragement to keep on when times are tough. You can find Run With Horses on Revelation Radio at our new time each Saturday night from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. beginning November 4th. Keep running.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton all the way from New York City. David, we went over, basically spent the whole first half of the show talking about the American election. I think we've done enough of that. So we're going to go ahead here and move on. I want to put this back up on screen real quick. And then, I'll tell you what, let me see. Yeah, I'll go ahead and put it up here. This guy, remember him?
Oh, yeah. Sweat and Bullets.
Yeah, that's old Sweat. Okay, well, this guy tried desperately to resign. He did not want to he didn't want to be in this deal at all. But instead, let me see here. Hopefully this will play.
Hezbollah announced that Nassim Qassem, currently its deputy secretary general, will assume the role of its new leader.
Qassem was elected to succeed longtime Hezbollah leader Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, concluding an extended succession crisis within the Iran-backed organization. Nasrallah was reportedly killed in Beirut last month in airstrikes that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu referred to as necessary, Joseph Eckerson reporting.
Okay. They weren't having a problem. Their problem was that every time they tried to appoint a new Secretary General, Israel killed him before they had the chance to make him the guy. And that guy, he tried to resign from Hezbollah. They wouldn't let him do it, and instead they recalled him to Tehran because they thought his life was in danger. You think? So anyway, they got him to Tehran. Then he grew a set, and he said, okay, I'll be Secretary General now because I'm in Iran. And what they forgot is that Israel's already killed one guy that was in Iran that was about a mile away from the Ayatollah himself. So, you know, Sweats is still in trouble, David. Sweats is still in trouble. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, that's what that thing is. It's absorbing all the sweat from his head. It's a big sponge.
Yeah. Yeah, he was terrified when he was in Lebanon. He was scared to death. Well, you saw him. He was sweating like a Russian road lizard, you know. So, you know. Okay.
I've never seen a Russian road lizard.
They sweat a lot.
They sweat? I think the lizards sweat. I know dogs don't sweat. They pant.
Yeah. I don't know. I've said that my whole life. I don't know where I got that from. I've said that my whole life. This is something that I'm not really sure how all this fits in, but I'm sure it does some kind of way. Maybe you'll have an answer for me. Let's listen to this one real quick.
Iran has carried out the execution of German-Iranian detainee Jamshid Sharmad, who was accused of heading a U.S.-based terror group and convicted on disputed terror charges.
This is the fulfillment of a divine promise regarding those who support terrorism, Iran's judiciary declared as it announced the execution. Sharmad, 69, resided in Los Angeles and had been sentenced to death in Iran last year, though he and his family consistently denied the allegations. Benjamin Wright reporting.
So, now this guy was... He's a German citizen, I believe, but he had been in the United States. I don't know how Iran got a hold of him. I really have no idea. They don't explain that in the report, but he was executed for terrorism in the biggest terrorist state in the world? I mean,
yeah, they think they would celebrate him. There's got to be more to that story.
Yeah, there's got to be.
Maybe they're just trying to look good, and he was a leaker. Yeah. And they're like, Oh, let's just make it look good. Let it sound like we're trying to get rid of terrorism.
Yeah. I think he was probably an Israeli spy or something. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing. That, like I said, the thing didn't really tell me anything. Okay.
Yeah, they don't know. And Israel's not going to tell them if that's true.
Okay. Now, this one is a report where verifies something that we said about 2 months ago.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has confirmed some 8,000 North Korean troops have been deployed to Russia's Kursk region to take part in the war against Ukraine. He said it could be a matter of days before they enter the fight. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
Blinken said on Wednesday clashes between North Korean and Ukrainian troops have not yet taken place, but that it could happen within the coming days. Ukrainian forces continue to hold several hundred square kilometers of territory in Russia's Kursk region, but Russian forces have been clawing back some ground. Blinken said Russia has been training North Korean soldiers in artillery, drones and basic infantry operations, including trench clearing, which suggests they will likely be used for frontline combat. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has urged Western allies to provide additional support for Ukraine as it braces for another country to enter the war. He said Russian President Vladimir Putin was testing the world's reaction by sending North Korean troops to the Russia-Ukraine border. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
No, they're just reinforcing what they got. But I can tell you this, they're a little bit behind. There's already been five North Korean troops killed and one captured. And the one that's captured is in Ukraine right now. They're interrogating him. But Blinken will catch up to the show here in another month or two, maybe, you know. But
he's just given a script. Here, say this.
Yeah, we're always ahead of the curve. Another one, same region. And this I'm going to get your opinion on this one, David, because I really don't know what to think about this one. Let's listen to this.
U.S. Central Command reported that U.S. forces conducted airstrikes on multiple Islamic State group sites in Syria this week, resulting in the deaths of up to 35 militants.
The strikes were launched on Monday evening in the central Syrian desert, targeting several locations and high-ranking IS figures. This offensive followed a series of collaborative operations with Iraqi forces targeting IS members within Iraq. According to U.S. Central Command, there were no civilian casualties reported in these strikes. Benjamin Wright reporting.
Okay, no civilians were killed in strikes. Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, what do you think about that, David? Are they just trying to put on a good show here right before the election, which would be my thought, or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things are coming out really bad. I mean, October had lit the entire country. Had 12,000 new jobs. So she can't run on, hey, we're running a great economy here. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, you had Tampon Tim out there trying to shoot ducks, right? Remember that? And he's like, he can't even hold the shotgun right.
Yeah,
and
he couldn't load his own gun. Mm-hmm.
And they had an illegal gun. You're not allowed to use that gun for ducks. But there he is, and they all got these brand new vests on, and everything's all neat and clean, like he's actually a hunter. And then the next week, you see him playing video games. Oh yeah, I'm on Twitch. It's like now he's trying to reach all the gamers. Mm-hmm. And the best part about it is Trump trolls them on everything.
Yeah,
well, we're garbage.
He did look like Elmer Fudd. I've got to say that.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's 100% Elmer Fudd. And and then they set him up in this room like it's actually his gaming room. And it's literally they just set up a table and they put these two signs behind him. Oh, yeah, here I am gaming. No, you just set that up for the photo op. Well, this is the same thing. It's a photo op for the, you know, because the entire military hates him. The wacky ones that are in there now, they all hate Kamala. Just go look it up. If they're not mentally deranged, they hate her. So they're just looking to try and win them over now. Oh, look. Oh yeah, she's strong in military. It's another ridiculous photo op.
Yeah, again, the propaganda media. I can't put up with it anymore. All right.
It comes down to this, though. Again, it all comes down to: do they really think people are that stupid, or are they doing it on purpose in order to invoke a civil war?
Both. in my opinion, both. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, I told you in the first half of the show, I felt like North Korea was going to be a part of the Gog-Magog War. Same thing with China. Same thing, of course, Russia is, you know, in my opinion anyway, specifically mentioned. Iran is definitely mentioned. Turkey is definitely mentioned. But whenever you start talking about North Korea, listen to this one.
North Korea fired a long-range ballistic missile into the sea off its east coast on Thursday, South Korea and Japan said. It comes a day after Seoul reported the North was making preparations to test launch an intercontinental ballistic missile. Laura Westbrook has more from Hong Kong.
The launch took place from an area near Pyongyang at 7:10 local time and fell into the sea. Officials believe it was a long-range ballistic missile fired at a high angle. Japan said it threatened not only Japan, but the international community, and said the flight time was among the longest. On Wednesday, South Korean officials said a mobile launcher had been positioned at a possible test site. They suggest that Pyongyang could conduct a long-range missile test or its seventh nuclear test around the time of the U.S. presidential election.
I don't know if they'll do it. I don't think the election really matters in this particular case. My take on this stuff is, yet they don't need a long-range ballistic missile if their target is North Korea. They don't need that, okay? But they would need a long-range ballistic missile if it was being fired at the United States of America or if it was being fired at Israel, and both of them would be in range of this long-range ballistic missile. So my point being that I believe North Korea is going to play a part in the Gog and Magog war to come, and this ballistic missile is a great delivery system. What do you think about it, David? Am I on the right track here?
They could be the islands, right? I mean, it talks about, you know, those on the islands. Because, you know, we don't see anything that says, oh, the Orientals won't do it. No, they were all the same people back then. So they didn't differentiate like we do today. Just the nations. Okay, from here, from here, from here, from here. But a Rocket Man, definitely, he can't build this stuff himself. They don't have any money. So somebody's feeding him the money to now, you know, Iran has done that with the billions that, you know, Obama gave them. They're taking that money and they're paying off, you know, the Gaza, the people over there. They don't care about Hamas. They're using them as pawns. They're paying off Hezbollah. They're paying off all these people to do all the dirty work. I say they're doing that with North Korea. You know, it's it wouldn't be far-fetched to think that Iran's giving them the money to do it. And, you know, that he needs more donuts, so he'll take the money.
Well, you know, and I'm thinking that Russia plays a big part in this, too. You know, North Korea, they are sending troops over there that are fighting beside Russians in the Ukraine.
Well, they're in bed together,
Yeah, so there's got to be a reciprocal. You know, little Kim's not going to do this for free. You know, so there's got to be a reciprocal agreement there. And my idea is, well, you know, the money thing going into North Korea to help them, you know, they, I mean, Kim's got to eat. He doesn't care if his people do or not, but he does. And so, you know, they're going to take care of him, and they're going to take care of Korea as best they can. And I just feel like that everything points to a real close relationship with North Korea and Russia, a real close relationship with Russia and China. And then you got India that's kicking into this. You got Turkey saying that they might attack Israel. I mean, all these things are coming together, and it's coming together really quick. And, you know, you always talk about prophecy. You don't really know exactly what's going to happen until a second after it happens. But I'm seeing it all come together, and I'm looking straight down the throat of Gog Magog, in my opinion. What do you think, David?
Yeah, 100%. When we look up, you know, Magog is, you know, one of the sons of Japheth. Yeah, and they're all up in that area. Everything's up in that area. And you know what? you do have to consider this too, because I mean, people put that postulation out there. What if Putin's not the bad guy? What if it's Zelensky, who's put up by the evil government? And Putin's just like, I just want to protect me and my nation, but he's finding himself in a position where he has to do all this evil stuff, you know? And, you know, that has happened too over the years, because some, you know, God's like, I'm going to force you into this position. That's what happens in Armageddon, actually. He's, you know, it's not that even a lot of these nations want to go to war, but he's putting them in a position where they have to. So, yeah, we're probably seeing some of that here. And he says he'll put the hooks in the jaw. So literally he's going to pull them down, which means they don't want to do it on their own. He's going to have to pull them down to do
it. Right.
So you really got to weigh all this stuff out and just pray for the people, for their salvation, and those who would be called out would be called out.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm seeing more and more reports. You know, you've mentioned it on a couple of shows, people having dreams. And there was one that had a dream the other day, and he wrote it. And, you know, I didn't include the report because, I don't know, it just kind of sounded weird. But there was a the guy claims to have had a dream where he was around a lot of professional wrestlers or something, and that they were all talking about how Trump had just won and while all this kind of stuff was going on, and, you know, they weren't going to let him serve, which goes back to the report we ran in the first half of the show. And, you know, I'm seeing all these different reports of dreams. Everybody seems to be having a dream one way or the other, you know, on Trump, on Israel, on, you know, whatever, you know, Christianity, of course, people accepting Christ. So, I think dreams are playing a big part in what's going on right now.
That's Joel too.
Go ahead. Expand on that a little bit.
Joel 2:28, right? And it says, here we go. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. Okay? And that doesn't mean only old men will dream dreams and only young men will see visions. It's like he's adding everyone together.
Right.
Okay? So he's like creating that list. It's a Hebrew type of thing. He's creating the list on one side and creating a list on the other, and they're all doing all of it, really.
Okay, I've got one more report I want to play today.
All right.
Okay, let's listen to this one. And it covers a lot of ground.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking in more detail today at Israel's proposed ban on UNRWA, the United Nations Relief Works Agency. It has been playing a critical role distributing humanitarian aid in Gaza and the West Bank, but contact between all its employees and Israeli officials will be banned in 90 days' time, a move that humanitarian organizations say will cripple efforts to get food, medical supplies and other assistance to Palestinians. Ricardo Perez is with UNICEF.
In a situation where UNRWA is unable to operate in the Gaza Strip, the humanitarian system would collapse even further. We are already operating, let's say, with one hand. If they tie that hand behind our backs, we will try and deliver with our teeth, but that's going to become increasingly difficult. UNRWA has facilities, staff, equipment, even food assistance, primary health care services, informal education. All these services would cease to exist for over 1 million children across the Strip. So we're very concerned about this bill, and indeed it would be a huge blow to the entire humanitarian operation on the ground.
Israel is defending the move, saying UNRWA needs to face consequences over allegations that 450 of its staffers were involved in the Hamas attacks on Israel last October. The UN says it investigated those claims and could only find 9 staff members who had played a role and were then fired. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Okay, they only found 9 that
only 9.
Okay, so how many people participated in the 9/11 attack on the United States?
Well, what the news narrative is,
just strictly with that, there was
let's
a total
stick with what they told us.
The total of 11.
Yeah, it's 11. Yep.
Okay, so the United States of America has over 350 million people. Israel has what, about 10 million? And so They have 11, let's say, 11 people participated in the 9/11 attacks on a country of 350 million and shut down the country for a long time and created a nightmare. If you ever go to the airport anymore, you know how bad it is. And now in Israel, they had nine or two less than that that created the biggest event, biggest terrorist event to hit Israel and the most Jews killed since the Holocaust. But nine people doesn't count. But let me tell you this. UNRWA, there's a lot more to it than just nine people. They were actually moving terrorists around in ambulances, and they had one of the largest caches of weaponry right up underneath their facility, and also right next to them as well. So they were active participants, and that's the reason that they got booted, along with Al Jazeera, out of Israel. And they can't leave fast enough for me. Go ahead, David.
Mm-hmm. Oh, whoa, go where? So many things.
Yeah, this, I told you it was a lot. There was a lot packed in that report.
Yeah, and guaranteed 100%, that's just nine that they found. Mm-hmm. The other ones are just really good at hiding it.
Right.
And, oh, well, yo, oh, we showed them, we fired them. Yeah, good for you. So they terrorized a nation and killed hundreds of people, and you fired them. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the justice in all
Where's
of this?
Where's the prosecution?
Yeah. And it's, you know, and they're just, again, putting on that facade that, oh, look at what we did. We're the good guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guarantee it wasn't just, hey, you know, you're fired, get out of here. They get, oh, here's a severance package, you know, and here, we'll take care of you for your whole life. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Oh, look, we fired them. No.
Yeah. Well, I got a feeling they only moved them. Yeah, I don't think they fired them. I think they just moved them out of there, you know, took them away.
And it's probably better off to be like, hey, listen, fire me too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Israel is not going to identify, what was it, 350 or 450? They're not going to identify the number of people that they did without any evidence. Israel doesn't do that. They've got probably the best spy network in the world. I mean, I think I would put
they're probably watching us.
Yeah, you know, I just got an idea that you know, they know exactly what happened and where these people are too. You know, so you know, for them, you better accept Jesus Christ too, because Israel doesn't forget. They're going to come after you if they know, if they think that you killed a Jew. Trust me, they're going to come after you, and they'll get you eventually. Even if you live right next door to the Ayatollah himself in Tehran, they're going to come get you.
And they'll kill you and not the one sleeping next to you. That's right. How precise they are.
Precision strikes. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, the whole bottom line to this today is that the Saudi king, and that's the whole reason why I put up the title slide that I did today. The Saudi king said that he wants a 7-year peace agreement between Israel and Gaza and Hezbollah and Iran. This is that 7-year deal, David, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, it hasn't, you know, he may not be the one that brings it to fruition, okay? But now that it's out there, it's something that's going to be talked about. And I think that we can expect to see Damascus be destroyed soon with Isaiah 17:1. I believe that the Gog-Magog war is on the horizon with Ezekiel 38 and 39. You can put the Psalm 83 war in there, which I think is being fought right now. That's my opinion, but, you know, I think that's what's going on. But, you know, you can forget the two-state solution. The Bible says that there's not going to be...
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, the Bible says that's not happening. Now, it's going to happen.
Like, no, that's Jerusalem's mine. Nice seeing you.
Yeah.
Bye.
It will happen, but as far as the division of all that stuff, it's going to happen. But the thing is, it's going to happen at the 3.5-year mark of the tribulation, not in advance of it. You know, so that's when everything really goes down the tubes. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, you need to do it, because the end of the age is upon us. And
it is.
Go ahead, it's David. Go ahead.
All right. So you heard of the book of Daniel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's always fun and exciting. So it starts out, you know, talking about Israel, because again, it's all about Israel, unto thy people, Daniel. So anyone that thinks we're in that final week of the tribulation period, it's about Israel. Okay. The church is not there. It's as simple as that. So he talks about it in the beginning of Daniel 9. He says, I understood the books, the number of years. So he's like, okay, I read the prophecies, and Jeremiah says 70 years. Okay. So he knew that the time was up. He's like, we're at the end of the 70 years. So what did Daniel do? Oh, I'll just sit back and we'll just pray, because it's going to happen. No, he said, we're going to pray and we're going to repent for the people so the prophecy does come true. And that's where we need to be right now as believers. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you're sending your son as the groom to come and get us as your bride. And we ask that you do this now. If we're not praying that, he's not going to come.
Right.
Right. Just like Daniel. He said, I know the 70 years is there, but the 70 years was put into prophecy in order that Daniel would pray and repent for the nation so it can end. That was the whole idea. It's that catch 22 thing. So it gives him a vision. So down, you know, later on in Daniel, we get up to 24 or so. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. Okay. So 70 weeks, he says, and there are weeks of years. It's Shabuah. So it's a week of years. And that's what we say a decade. They would use a 7-year period. All right. And then the first 69 of them happen right on the exact day where Mashiach Nagid, the Messiah, the king, was the day that they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So he's coming in on Palm Sunday, we call it, and they're waving. That was exactly to the day went to 69 weeks. So there's 1 week left, okay? And that's 1 7-year period that we have to deal with, and that's where we get the 7-year tribulation from. So in verse 26, after 62 weeks, so 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, and then they'll be with a flood. And then here we go in 27. No, let's go this. After 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Okay, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So we saw that happen. Okay, the prince of the people that the people of the prince that shall come. Well, the prince that shall come is the Antichrist, and we see that Rome hired these people to destroy the temple and the sanctuary. Okay, now now they're going to rebuild that temple. Here we are coming back, and in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay, many is an idiom for Israel. Covenant is that agreement. All right. And it's a week. It's 7 years. And it says he will strengthen. The word confirm is gabor, which means to strengthen, not write it, strengthen a covenant that's already out there. That is about to happen. Okay, folks. So I would highly encourage you to receive the Lord Jesus today so you can come with us in the rapture. If you don't, you're going to have to be one of the tribulation saints. That's not a pretty picture. You can be part of the bride and rule and reign with Jesus when he rules on the earth as his queen. That's coming up. And it's real simple. You just say, Lord, I receive your payment for my sins, and I accept your blood, and then come and get me. And there we go. So Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the next show. You have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
It's doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter if you're an independent. The only thing that really matters is getting news that is correct. And you can only do that from the perspective of what God believes. If you want the real news and look at it from the lens of current events, tune in to The Last Christian every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net.